Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. You all may be seated. What a thrill to be here. I really didn't come especially to preach tonight. I came especially to wish the first lady of the house, you know, a happy birthday. Deborah, happy birthday. You're loved. You're blessed. You and Jim are amazing friends, and Heidi and I are just thrilled always to be in your company. But when I did get an invitation from your pastor, Pastor Dan, I was so blessed to be invited, and it's always a thrill to come to this place. You all mark our hearts in so many different ways, and Heidi and I have been honored to be an extension of your love in your life all these years, and so thank you for being planted in this place. Thank you for being faithful in the local church. Thank you for being thrilled with the Father's love, and thank you for giving to your local church so people like Heidi and I can be about the Father's business in other nations of the world. I've just come back to the States about a week and a half ago. I was in West Africa, in Nigeria, working with our teams there. I dedicated two new life centers in smaller villages there, and also dedicated a couple classrooms in a school that we have in our main campus. We have 120 precious kids. And you know, the place where we were was just filled with massive pain. Overwhelming circumstances and situations that's hard to describe. You almost have to be there. You have to live through just the challenges that precious people face. In fact, I'm going to be telling you a story tonight about one of my friends I've known for a couple of decades. He's helped me a lot when we established our ministry and team there, and what he just went through, and showed you how the love of the Father set his heart free when he could be so angry and so frustrated and so full of revenge and retaliation and rage. So some good things I think are going to happen to you tonight. But Pastor Dan, I just want to say you're doing an amazing job. You and Jessica, we're just so honored to see what God's doing at the Rock. And I love all the new technology because it makes me look a lot younger, you know, and I need to look a little bit younger. But it's wonderful, all the teaching and preaching. Pastor Luke, the whole team here, we just so appreciate the gifts and ministry of each and every one of you. But again, Heidi and I are honored and thrilled to be here. What I'd like to do tonight, just for a few moments, is just put something in your heart that's going to make you happy. It's absolutely going to give you joy and put you in a place of peace and a place of confidence with the Father. You know, it's like the lyrics of the songs we sang, "You're a good, good Father." You know, I didn't always know the Father was good. In fact, I lived in fear of the Father for a lot of my life and for even part of my ministry. I never knew the heart of the Father. And the Lord delivered me from my worldview through the beauty of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to share some things with you tonight that I think you can relate to. And it's going to put you at a place of peace. No matter what headache, what heartache, what frustration you have in life, you're going to find a great place of peace in how to counter whatever situation or circumstance that you're in that's contrary to God's purpose and plan for your life. And I know it's going to bless you. But before I preach just a little bit, let me show you a little video. They say pictures are worth a thousand words. So let me just show you a little video about what you've been doing as the Rock Church collectively, along with Mutual Faith Ministries. Let's watch this video. Our great joy in missions ministry of going into all the world and preaching the gospel is in building and establishing Life Center campuses. It's in planting local churches. It's in training up a new generation of Christian leaders. It's in establishing life home orphanages to rescue orphans and disadvantaged children. And it's in bringing help and hope to Syrian refugees at our Middle East Life Center and providing a school for their kids who have enormous needs. And of course, it's in broadcasting this good news so that faith can rise in the hearts of men and women. And it's in establishing Life Center USA, a reflective campus of ministry for outreach and training of a new generation of mission leaders.
Simply put, our mission's assignment is to let people know they are loved by God and they can be lifted out of a lifestyle of their own sufficiency, and they can be led and carried by the Good Shepherd to better days, to green pastures, to a life that is full of the Father's favor. Friend, this gospel is true for you, and it's true for everyone else too. Jesus proves that God loves you completely, God favors you abundantly, and God blesses you eternally. Let's continue our friendship in partnership in missions ministry.
So that, precious friends, is some of the things you've been up to. By the way, I talked to Pastor Deborah a little bit tonight. Pastor Jim invited them to come with me to Beirut, Lebanon. How many believe that'd be the will of God for them? May they come along with me and see. There's two people not very excited. Actually, Pastor Debbie's excited. Pastor Jim, we've got to just twist his arms a little more, but you know, he's a tender teddy bear. He'll come along. Actually, you know, the government in Beirut just collapsed the day before yesterday. The president flew to Saudi Arabia with the prime minister and resigned, and there's a lot of chaos and pain there. And that's why I love being there. I love being in places that are absolutely hopeless, because I've got the author of hope that helps everyone everywhere, and I love to share the gospel. Yeah. Just the week before last, we had in our campus 1,000 Syrian Muslims, and packed out the whole facility, and we shared the Father's love. And you know what? 500 of them put their faith in Jesus Christ, and I tell you, following the Lord now, and getting connected to some of the programs we have. So, you know, where there's headache and heartache, you know, the Father can solve everything with the right information, the right revelation. You know, sometimes you get the wrong information and it can kind of fill your heart with trouble. It reminds me when I was a young boy growing up in Michigan. You know, I'm just a little farm kid, and I'm one of five children. My father's a bricklayer, and when I was a kid, I raised pigs, so I was just a little farm boy. But, you know, my mother would drive us into this little town. The town had 1,000 people, and in this little town, there was a little Baptist church. We would go there, beautiful people, and shared with us about Jesus and his death, his resurrection, and, you know, taught us to trust the Lord. It was beautiful. And I remember as a young boy, they sent me to a camp. A camp for young kids, and I was about 11 years old, and I remember there was an old man that would teach us every night. He was about 40 years old, and this guy looked ancient, you know, to a little 11-year-old. But he would preach to all of us little guys, and he would tell us about, you know, God and Jesus, and he would tell us then about heaven and hell, and then he would talk about eternity. And he would talk about, he gave a description I'll never forget about eternity, because in Michigan, at Lake Michigan, the big one of the Great Lakes, there's big sand dunes. And we would go there sometimes, you know, the beach day kind of in the summer, and it was like a big day to go to the sand dunes of Lake Michigan. And he talked about a sparrow taking a grain of sand and flying it over and dropping it in Chicago on one day, and then the next day flying back. And then resting, getting another grain of sand, and then flying over for a day, and then the next day coming back. He said eternity is when the sparrow removes all the sand dunes and gets it all to Chicago, and he does it 1 billion times. That's how long eternity is. It's like, how do you calculate it? And then he began to say, you know, if you don't love God with your whole heart, if you're not really in love with God, if you don't stay on fire with God, you know, you may not be in heaven if you just don't love God good enough. You gotta really love God. And you know, I was like, geez, man, I don't want to miss out on this. This would be a bummer, you know. And I remember that night he gave an altar call, and I responded. And I waited till everybody left, and then I responded. And he prayed with me, and I gave my life to Jesus. And, you know, I remember leaving and saying, God, I really do love you. I really do love you. But after I said I love you 3 or 4 times, I didn't know what else to say. Didn't know what else to do. And then the next day, I tried to love God. And I always felt that I didn't really love God very good. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I don't know if I do this love thing all that well. And that kind of plagued me through my teenage years. And You know, I said, God, I'm really not real good at this loving you with all my heart. You know, I don't think about you some days. And to love you 24/7 and with all my emotional strength, I just don't do this good. I just don't know what kind of father you are because I just don't know how to love you. And so I was so frustrated in my capacity to love God. And do you know, it's interesting that somehow in the tenderness of God's love for me, He takes a guy like me who's troubled with his own capacity to love God, and He calls me into the ministry. And I thought, what a bummer. You know, I'm called into the ministry to teach people how to love God, and I feel like I just don't do it good myself. Anyway, to make a long story short, I went into the ministry. And you know what's amazing about going into the ministry? God blesses it. God blessed it all over the world. But many, many years ago, now God delivered me from me in my insecurity with my capacity to love Him. And I want to share something with you tonight that kind of changed my thinking on how to stay fired up. You know, I was always told, man, you got to stay fired up for the Lord. You got to be red hot. You got to have your heart, you know, burning and ablaze for God. And I would work at it, and I would get fired up, and I would go do great things for God, you know, and I would get excited for myself. But deep down, I knew I really failed. I failed deeply at this loving God, you know, perfectly, so to speak. And so many, many years ago, the Lord delivered me from this worldview, and He showed me how to stay ablaze a different way. He showed me how to stay ablaze with the Father's love that had nothing to do with my initiative, that only had to do with beholding who He is and what He's done in receiving. Let me explain what I mean. Go with me in your Bible. If you have a Bible, they'll have the verses on the screen. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, John the Apostle writes this letter. And, you know, he was the one who was really developed in the Father's love. He would call himself the beloved disciple. He wouldn't use his own name when he talked about himself. He would talk about the disciple whom Jesus loved. In other words, his worldview wasn't grasping for his love for God, but his worldview was the revelation of how much God loved him. And so later in his life, he writes this book, 1 John. And in 1 John 4:10, this is what the Bible says. The scripture says, in this is love. Now let's pause a minute. In this is love. Now it sounds like a definition. In this is love, not that we love Him. Let's just take a break for a moment. This just messes with my mind. In this is love, not that we love Him, but that He loves us. And He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. What I want to talk to you tonight about is a subject I call a passion for His passion. I think there may be this graphic concept, a passion for His passion. I remember when I was young and preparing for ministry, I had a lot of teaching on how to stay fired up and how to stay fired up doing things for the Lord. And I lived that way for a long time until I got so disappointed with me that the Lord set me free from me, and He showed me how to stay fired up by having a passion for His passion. Do you know the passion of Jesus? Passion is a term that means suffering. You know, the movie years ago called The Passion of the Christ. It's all about Jesus going to the cross. When you and I have a passion for His passion, it's what stirs your spirit. It's what warms your heart. It's what motivates you in ministry. It's what motivates you in giving. It's what motivates you in doing the will of God. I'm finding in life that if I can be loved by the Father and have a passion for His passion, that everything about my world seems to, unfold like sovereignly, like supernaturally. It's like I just have to get my faith in agreement with what God is displaying in my midst, having a passion for his passion. In this is love. Not that you love him. I used to live so disappointed if I didn't love God enough in a day. I used to get so disappointed at my devotional life. I know none of you are like that. That's why I like you all so much. But I used to get so disappointed in my own capacity to pray enough, to read enough, to do enough. And I'm in the ministry. I remember used to go preaching places and I'd be repenting all the way up. Oh, Father, help me. You know, I haven't loved you enough. I've been so distracted, so many other problems, so much other chaos. But the Lord has totally set me free from this. Because my love for him is now based on the lyrics of the song we sang, A Good, Good Father. And he loves us, he loves us, he loves us. He wants us to be immersed in the revelation and the reality of his favor, of his acceptance, of the forgiveness of sins, of his grace, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his tenderness toward us. And the way I'm learning from John's writing here is the truth of in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us. Do you know how you know he loves us? Because he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to be the propitiation for your sins. Now I know that word propitiation is a big word. I'll let Pastor Dan explain to you what that means when I leave town. But it's a big word. It simply means mercy seat, really. It's covering. And it's the picture, you know, of the mercy seat of God. Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. His blood speaks on our behalf. Everything that was against us in terms of your worldview of you before the Father has no voice anymore. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. This is how you know the Father loves you. And this is love, not that you love him. Even when Jesus gives the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, if you could do these things, you could really fulfill the law. And nobody can really do it perfectly. So a new equation was set up where now our love for God is a reciprocal response to the revelation. He loves me. He accepts me on my good day, on my bad day. When things are going well, when things aren't going quite so well, when I'm a little bit cranky, when I'm a little bit frustrated, when I've done something I really probably shouldn't have done or said something I probably shouldn't have said. You know, it's amazing to me, Heidi and I have had a few little situations in our world the last 48 or 72 hours that really trouble our souls. And you know, it's amazing to me what a nice guy I am and how carnal I can get. You know what I mean? It's amazing the things I can say that aren't really very nice. It's amazing the things I can think that have nothing to do with my love for the Father. And it just shows you how trapped we get into our thinking. But sometimes instead of going into despair that I got angry or said something I shouldn't have said or thought something I shouldn't have thought, you know what I do now? I take time to be loved. Because in this is love. Not that I love him perfectly, but that he loves me. And he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to be the propitiation for my sins. I have a passion for his passion. And that's what I want to encourage you about. I want you to develop in your mindset, to develop a worldview of the finished work of the Lamb of God. I want you to have confidence that what Jesus did speaks perfectly before the Father for you. And when you can understand that your identity before the Father is found completely in Christ, if you can get comfortable there, you really will enjoy your own company. And you really can enjoy the company of those around you because you know those around you aren't quite as perfect of you as you. Isn't that true, huh? It's really, really important that we get comfortable believing that he loves us. In this is love. Not that we love him. But that he loves us. And he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to be the propitiation for my sin. You know, John, the same writer in that second chapter, He uses that same word, propitiation. He said, not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. I'm one that chooses to believe it. And so I announce to people the redeemed innocence and see if they can sign up for it by faith and have a righteousness by faith. And so when I'm in the Middle East or wherever I am around the world, I don't fight with people about religion. I don't tell anybody what's wrong with nothing. I'm there to tell them what's right about Jesus, the one who's the propitiation for their sin, the one who pre-approves them before the Father. The Father who loves you that deeply, in that dearly, having a passion for His passion. The unveiling of the love of the Lamb was revealed at the cross. The Bible says that's where love was demonstrated. And that's what the propitiation is all about, that Jesus Christ proves the Father loves you completely. He favors you abundantly, and He blesses you eternally. It's got nothing to do with you except just sliding in by faith and say, glory, let me go on for the ride. It's the beauty of believing. It gives me so much confidence. I remember, you know, when I was young in ministry and trying to be successful, and, you know, unfortunately, I had success according to human mindset. And I would do everything I could to be successful, everything I could to try to meet somebody and, you know, have them believe that I was carrying something that was significant for the nations. And unfortunately, I did a lot of things I probably shouldn't have done in terms of the world's ways. I should have just rested in the Father's love. But you know, you just get a little antsy sometimes and you get out ahead and trying to make things happen and whatever. And I used to get so disappointed in myself in terms of my capacity to pray enough or love enough or do enough. And when the Lord set me free, it's like I'm a brand new little kid in a candy store, because now I wake up and I'm just absolutely thrilled. In fact, I don't even do nothing except think of the Father's love for me and receive it. Yeah. I take time every day receiving the Father's love. I let the Lord love me even when I'm naughty. Even when I'm in a bad mood, even when I'm angry, even if I've said something to my beloved wife whom God gave me, 1,000 years ago. Listen, it's very, very important. You know, Heidi and I, we've been married a long time. I just had a birthday. I'm 60 years old. I could collect Social Security. I'm almost as old as Pastor Jim. Can you imagine this? But you know what I'm learning? I'm learning that the Father loves me. And He loves me completely. And there's no disappointment in His heart concerning me. Look at the Bible says in the book of Jude. Jude verse 21, here's what the scripture says. But you, beloved, I love that. I love when the writers in the New Testament call the saints beloved ones. That should be your favorite name. You're beloved before the Father, regardless of anything about you. You're beloved because of the Lamb. If you let God love you enough, man, you start believing the truth. You know, God's opinion of you is the truth of you. And Jesus is God's opinion of you. You might as well get comfortable letting yourself know in your weakness, in your frailty, in your humanity, that you're beloved by the Father. And I tell you, you settle in and let God love you, and you give a corresponding, a reciprocal love back to the Father, you're going to find yourself loving your neighbor. You're going to find yourself loving your wife. You know, I couldn't be a good husband on my own. Impossible. I couldn't be a good friend on my own. Impossible. But you know what? I'm a great husband being loved by the Father. Heidi, say amen. Hallelujah. I'm a great friend being loved by the Father. See, being loved by the Father is your equipping in this earth. Being loved by the Father is you have access to the wisdom of God in it. The problems of the world are solvable in the love of the Father. It's a beautiful thing. I had a friend call me today. He was from the East Coast, and his life has just gone through hell. And so I didn't have any great advice for him. He just went yesterday to the courthouse and filed divorce with his now ex-wife. He went this. His transmission just broke down in his car. Everything's falling by. He doesn't have a place to stay. At one time he was, you know, he had a couple million dollars just in personal wealth, you know. Now I didn't have a nickel. You know the advice I gave him, this wonderful, wise gospel preacher? I said, my friend, the only thing I can tell you to do is be loved by the Father. You need to understand God's view of you in your worst pain when everything's going wrong, and you've got to build your confidence in the truth that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for your sins, and not your sins only, but the sins of the whole world. So that includes your wife, that includes your kids, that includes your friends, that includes everybody. You've got to get confident and comfortable with having a passion for His passion. You know what inspires me today? You know what motivates this gray-haired old man? What motivates me is I have a passion for the passion of the Lamb. And because I have a passion for the finished work of Jesus Christ, my goodness, all kinds of dreams and vision. I'm not even signing up for things to do. But God gives me assignments that astonish me. And since I've lived this way in the last years, I've done more living this way out of having a passion for His passion than trying to do anything for God. It's very, very important that we get comfortable with the love of the Father. You'll find He fills you with everything. I was showing Pastor Jim something. I said, look what I'm doing. He said, man, this is amazing. I said, how you doing? I said, I don't know. Except I'm doing it by faith. Because you know what? It's going to be a place to birth within people, the love of the Lamb. This is why so many people who are connected to Christendom in some sense are so frustrated with themselves, and why they draw back. They say, I can't do it. You don't have to. Just come to church and be loved. Let the Father grip you with the revelation of the finished work of Jesus, and let you know and let you believe that your sins have been forgiven and your sins have been forgotten, and receive His love, love Him back, and give Him praise. Hallelujah! So Jude writes, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. I think faith is holy because faith is your only asset that can ever tell you you're righteous. Good works will never get you there. The only thing you have that can tell you you're righteous before God Almighty is faith. The only way you know it is if you have a passion for His passion. That Jesus Christ is the mercy seat. And all the things that were against you are in the ark. It's covered. It's not against you. There's no score in heaven against you. And if you can believe it, if you can be so stirred in your heart with the love of the Father, it rips away every fear. It rips away every disappointment. You knew I couldn't get through a message without crying, didn't you? You knew I'd have to fire it up sometime. Do you know, the beautiful thing about faith, it gives you the reality, the truth, that you're righteous before God. I have no other way to know I'm righteous. And every other way I try to decide in, I have no confidence in. But I have confidence in the righteousness that is by faith. I have confidence in the passion of Jesus Christ. I have everything established in that. Beauty. The beauty of the Lamb. Your heart can be strangely warmed if you have a passion for the passion of Jesus. And you'll find dreams and visions come alive that you never, ever even conceived of. You build yourself up on your most holy faith. It says you pray in the Holy Spirit. It says that keep yourself in love with God. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say keep yourself in love with God. It says keep yourself in the love of God. The beauty of practicing the revelation of the passion for His passion. You keep yourself in the love of the Father. It's all revealed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's why I just want to encourage you, when life gives you a bunch of nonsense, and we all have challenges, my heart always slides back to the place of being loved. I was so recently disappointed, you know, within the last 24 hours. I had no other option but the love of the Father. And you know what I find? The love of the Father's enough. It's always enough. If you're reduced to nothing but the love of the Father, you're in a good place. Because no longer self-sufficiency can deliver you. You just have the love of the Lamb. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.